So here's the thing about being human. The big thing about being human. We make mistakes. We say hurtful things. We misrepresent or lie. We make bad choices. We can be selfish. We can hurt others. We can do things that cause damage. This is a quality of being human on our earth. The challenge of our lives is learn how to acknowledge our mistakes, to confess them, ask for forgiveness, make amends, and possibly learn enough so that we don't do it again, or when we do it again, it's not as bad as it was the first time around. This is the cycle that we go through in our lives. We make a mistake, we acknowledge it, we ask for forgiveness, we offer to make amends. And this process of all those steps is what is called redemption. Big theological word here, but it comes up everywhere in our culture and in our lives. In fact, it's been a theme in fairy tales and mythology for a long time. The hero or the heroine makes some error and has to struggle to find a new path out and clean up the mess that they made as they went through their own process. Now, redemption, of course, is big money in our culture right now. You know this drill. You've seen it so many times, right? The TV evangelist or the politician or the businessman, they're caught with bad behavior. Maybe there's videotape. Maybe there's a caught with bad behavior. Admit their failure. This is not a recent event. This is a lot of events going back. They're caught with their bad behavior. Admit their failure. Take full responsibility, right? Bow their heads in humility and wait for the forgiveness to come. It's a spectator sport. So why are we so riveted to the spectacle? Why is our media and our stories and reality TV so entrenched with redemption stories? Why is it that as a culture we just can't seem to get enough? This human challenge that I've articulated, of course, is the fundamental concern of religion. Little different labels than I used earlier: sin, confession, atonement, forgiveness. Any former Catholics among us? This process of redemption is restoring ourselves to wholeness, both within our own hearts and within our community. And it's a powerful practice in the context of religion. Most religions have some process. Of course, those of us who were raised as Protestants know about Christ is our Redeemer, that he paid the price for our sins. Now, I apologize for any flashbacks that are happening in the congregation right now, but I want to lift that up. That idea of redemption in the Protestant world is through Christ. And people who find that they've erred have a relationship with Jesus that can help support and sustain them. The Catholic Church had confession for many, many years. I hear they're not doing it quite the same way as they used to, but a friend of mine was telling me about going to confession every week as a young child after her first communion, and I was mean to my sister 3 times. And, you know, the fear of, like, the big God representative sitting there and the little slot that he opens and the mesh so that you can't see him. And she said there was a lot of fear in her experience, but there was also some relief. He gave her things to do, so many Hail Marys, so many Our Fathers, and she felt like she'd been cleansed. In all of those religions, the Protestant and the Catholic religion I've talked about, the quality is the forgiveness process happens with God or a representative of God. And that's why I feel so strongly connected with the process in the Jewish tradition, which we're here now during the High Holy Days of Judaism. Those of you who know anything about the Jewish religion know that one of the hallmarks of their religion is a covenantal relationship with God, agreements between the Jewish people and God that go back to the very beginning in the Hebrew scriptures. And that covenantal relationship with God also creates a covenantal relationship among the Jewish people, among all the communities, the synagogues, all the people, families, connections. Covenant is a very important part of their religious experience. And so it helps us to understand why the process of atonement, confession, forgiveness, making amends is all part of that covenant and is done not with God's forgiveness, ultimately with God's, but beginningly within the context of community. I think this is a very helpful model for Unitarian Universalists. And the author of that reading that Laura shared with you thinks as well. She's a Jewish UU and has brought this practice into the congregation that she serves. UUs are a covenantal people as well. We don't have a creed. We don't have a statement of belief. We have an agreement to walk together in the spirit of love. And the metaphor that we use for that is our interdependent web of all existence, this interconnectedness that we have. Now, as UUs, as humans, we have the same process as any other human in this world. We sin. We err, we make mistakes, we hurt people. And if you use this idea of our interconnectedness in the interdependent web, sin is a separation. It's like a little tear in that web. It's a separation from the covenantal community of love. You have done something, maybe just to one person, but because of our interconnectedness, you've made a little tear. You've disconnected yourself. And of course, the depth of the disconnection is based upon how strong the act was and how much damage you did in that act. You know, we know in our bodies when we've done those little tears in our connection. Some of us feel it in our gut. Some of us feel it in our heart. Some of us, our face flushes. We know that we've torn those connections. We've done some damage to that sense of wholeness. And the act of confessing is a very, very powerful part, and I honor that aspect of the Jewish tradition, stating your acknowledgement of what you've done and reconnecting with the person that you have done wrong with. So, of course, in any situation between two people, when you have erred or hurt someone and you offer to make amends, offer to reconnect with them, what happens at that point is really and completely outside of your control. The other person doesn't have any responsibility to forgive you. It is their own process that determines whether they'll forgive you or not. And in the Jewish tradition, it's a slightly different situation because of their communal connections. The other person does have some responsibility for forgiveness. And if they can't make it work, then the rabbi comes in and mediates so that there's wholeness in the community. But in our UU world, there's no guarantees that if you bring your confession and you're asking for forgiveness to someone, that they're going to respond. Forgiveness has become very oversimplified in our culture. And you hear these stories of people that are forgiving the murderers of their parents or their children in what feels kind of like lightning speed. I personally think that that's a misinterpretation of Jesus' message. But forgiveness belongs to the person that is making the choice to forgive. Through the Jewish lens, there can be no forgiveness unless the wrongdoer comes forward, confesses, and offers to make amends. When we think of this as a covenantal relationship, it's very powerful when both parties can participate and when the apology is sincere and when the forgiveness comes with an open heart. But we know that it's not simple. One of the hallmarks of the 12-step program is this focus on understanding your mistakes, confessing, offering to make amends, and asking for forgiveness. It actually seems to take up the majority of the 12 steps. We have a 12-step group, 12 steps as a spiritual practice now here in our congregation that meets on Thursday nights, and they're using a book that's written by a rabbi called The 12 Steps as Spiritual Practice. But I would encourage all of us to consider this idea of reflecting on the things that we've done wrong, reconnecting with the person that we have wronged and asking for their forgiveness to be a spiritual practice that can enrich our lives, whether it's during these high holy days or whether it is an ongoing practice that you have. It's really about wholeness. It's about your contribution, your keeping this interdependent web, this covenantal connection that we have, good and whole. It's about your personal wholeness, and it's about our communal wholeness. And right now, the world does not have enough of the sincere practice of atonement. So in the spirit of Yom Kippur, I want to offer you a time of silence now to consider what is heavy on your heart, to consider the actions that maybe you recognize have been hurtful or damaging, and reflect on those things and how you may want to move forward for some healing and wholeness in your own heart. So let us take a few moments for silent reflection. We're going to share now in a musical litany of expressing the things that are heavy on our hearts, and then singing away, letting go of those things. So let me teach you a line of the song, and then you can sing it back. So the first line goes, "We forgive ourselves and each other.
We forgive ourselves and each other."
And then we begin again in love.
We begin again in love.
Let's go through both lines one time and then I'll start.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our greed has blinded us from the needs of others,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For selfishness that has set us apart and alone,
we forgive ourselves and each other.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
Now here's a space for whatever it is that you need to say. I encourage you to move your lips with the words. It's a powerful practice. So if you're not comfortable saying the words out loud, then move your lips with the things that you need to say in this moment. And so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled our illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
May this day make us strong, like the tree of life with good fruit. May the words of healing and humility come easily from our lips. May we be blessed with the sincerity of our intentions. May we go forth with our hearts lightened and our spirits lifted. And may the love and support of this community, no matter how many times we err, no matter how many mistakes we make, help us return to wholeness. Again and again and again. Blessed be and amen.